Welcome, everybody, to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And my name is Ash Riot.
How come you didn't sing song it like I
said? Cheryl
sang song?
Just threw her glasses at the computer.
I threw them.
I am angry.
I am angry.
That is the topic of tonight's show, everyone. If you are tuned in, it is Sunday, October 20th, 2013, and we are talking about anger.
The actual title of our show tonight is Anger, Righteously Accepted, Rebelliously Rejected. And we really want to talk about anger because it seems to be an issue in the world, an issue in relationships, probably an issue for Ash and I in our own lives.
Oh, yeah. It comes up in everyone's life. If it didn't, then that would be kind of something to, you know, be worried about.
I think the reason why I wanted to talk about anger is because I often myself personally get very, kind of get mixed messages. I get mixed messages with regards to, especially, I was thinking about anger with regards to me being a woman, because I think it's different for women. The whole idea of anger for women is different than the idea of anger for men. So mm-hmm. even from a feminine perspective, I often have question my own anger because it almost feels that I'm not supposed to. And, you know, I wonder, where do I get those messages from? Where is it that I'm told
exactly
that I'm not supposed to get mad?
And is it okay to fight back? Is it okay to, or should you, you know, be submissive and just say, okay, you are an angry person, but I send you so much love, healing, understanding.
Because I am of light and love and I am a feminine goddess.
But when is it okay to actually stand up and fight back? Like a lot of the bands that I even listen to from, you know, the 90s, like the Riot Girl scene and stuff.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that their anger, I thought, was one of the coolest representations of fighting back, because they did it with a well, I mean, I'm not going to say the whole thing like Umbrella, but I mean, if you are an angry woman, it's always good to listen to some Bikini Kill or some, I don't know.
Or some Suicide Silence.
Which, by the way,
yes,
is Mitch's birthday today.
It's Mitch Lucker's birthday. He would have been 29. He passed away last Halloween.
Happy birthday, Mitch Lucker.
And we want to wish Mitch a happy birthday. And I was introduced to Mitch's band, actually, by Ash. I'm not really much of a metalhead. And see, this is where my prejudices and my ideas of what is based on exterior, actually, I had to face it, because I always felt uncomfortable with metal music. I mean, my biggest, most, what do you call it? My most favorite, probably what would be considered a metal band, is from the 90s. It's Ministry.
Oh, yeah. Ministry, and they were metal.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the extent of my metal. I used to put Jesus Built My Hot Rod on and bounce around my living room whenever I was filled with angst. That's how I got it out.
See, I admire that you're so animated, because if I'm angry or sad or whatever, I'll still just, you know, I don't really have a process. I wish I did.
But what I was getting at with the metal bands is I just kind of thought that a lot of the metal bands were just filled with anger and rage and darkness, and they wanted to just like just spread the darkness.
I used to
and
think
their
that
rage
too.
And their anger to the world. And just getting to know Mitch through like just reading about him and getting to know not only Mitch but other band leaders from the metal scene, a lot of them are so super cool. They're really
zen,
very zen people. They're a lot of them are straight edge, which
vegan.
Means that, you know, they're vegan. They don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't drug. It's really cool. Like, again, like, this is a really great thing for me to remind myself. And I think I'm very open-minded, and I think I'm not judgmental. And I think that, you know, I'm, you know, live and let live kind of person. And then even just to sort of take a look at some place where I may not be, it's kind of enlightening. So if any of you think that metal is dark and evil or whatever, I implore you to open your mind and explore a little bit. Now, that being said, I'm still not a huge heavy metal fan.
Hey, you know what? Listened to an entire metal, like, screamo mix the other day.
I did. I listened to the whole thing. And again, it's about being open-minded. And, you know, I love music. For the most part, I love every kind of music, but there are certain music scenes that I'm not really digging, but...
Well, it's amazing that, like, you know, speaking of anger, and our show's about anger, and there, I remember probably in, like, 2001, 2000, it was like I turned around the whole kind of harder music, metal, finding a place of zen and peace in that, which was... I was at a show, I think I was seeing, like, Snapcase in a band called Hope's Fall, and it was just screaming and so loud, and there was just one point in the concert I went, this is actually really beautiful, and I closed my eyes, and I was like, wow, I feel really zen.
Well, the thing in music, in, you know, including music that might be construed as abrasive, such as metal or certain hip-hop and rap, and even country...
There you go.
I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in there.
Hey, country, I get so much angrier listening to country than, you know, Pantera, so.
Yeah, but what I was going to say about these is that it really is. There is a lot of beauty in any kind of music. There's a lot of melodic beauty. I noticed in I'm being told by other people who love the metal scene, and they're, you know, saying, be open, listen to this, try this. And I'm listening, and I'm going, yeah, you're right. The melody is really great. There's a really beautiful... melody in this. So getting outside preconceived ideas, even it's kind of like reading between the lines in terms of musical, the negative space of music, like the negative space of a painting or any piece of art, not just seeing what's before you, but seeing what's not there and hearing what's not there.
Yeah, I agree.
So this is where, again, like, it's good for me, instead of just dismissing anything as this is an angry thing or this is, or labeling it, kind of just listening to it with new ears. So getting back to anger, when I was putting together the blurb for our show tonight, I put down two quotes, and I really love them, and that's why I put them down. And we're going to use this as our jumping off point. We invite you out there to call in and share your own viewpoint on anger. Basically, what I'm kind of interested in talking about personally is... where does anger fit in with regards to us finding peace? Because I think a lot of the problems we have right now, a lot of what you read in the media, you talk to anybody anywhere and you'd say, hey, what do you think is wrong with the world? And I think most people will tell you that they just think it's, a lot of people use the word fucked up, two words. And reason being is they think it's about, there's just too much war, there's too much hatred, there's too much injustice, there's too much darkness, there's too much evil, there's too many people murdering each other, raping each other, whatever. I mean, and it does seem pretty dismal when you kind of, you know, focus on the news and who was shot by who and why and the mysteries around why people do dark things to each other. And so what I'm really interested in is the spirituality of anger and where we can actually be constructively angry, if that is in fact true. And the two quotes that I want to state on this show again that are also on our BBS site is, first of all, the Aristotle quote. Aristotle said, anybody can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person and to the right degree and at the right time and for the right purpose and in the right way, that is not within everybody's power and is not easy. And I completely agree.
That's and really cool.
The second quote is Maya Angelou, and she says, bitterness is like cancer. It eats upon the host, but anger is like fire. It burns it all clean. And the reason why I love that Maya Angelou quote is because it differentiates between anger and resentment. And the two are very, very, very different. And I think that that's where some people don't understand the difference between bitterness and anger.
Yeah.
And I think it's essential that each of us, even just for our own peace of mind and for our own relationships to flourish, to understand the difference between being angry and being resentful.
I agree.
And we can talk a little bit about that. And I'm going to just say personally, you know, from my standpoint, I do get angry. I'm a person who expresses anger. People who know me personally will say that I do. I've been told at times that I can be harsh. I've been told that you're my friend. You know my anger.
I don't think that it's, see now, I don't think that it's anger that you have. Like, because I mean, somebody could easily say, oh yeah, Cheryl got mad at me or whatever. It's not that you're abrasive or anything like that. It's that you are sometimes jumping in too quick. Like if I did something like I spilt your tea right now.
On my lap.
You'd get, it's not even that hot, okay? But if I spilled your tea on your lap, like, okay, say if you spilled tea on my lap, and this is why you can't really judge somebody for their anger, because everyone's going to be different. You'd probably say that I'm a pussy and I'm just whatever.
I would never say you're a pussy.
Well, somebody, people would, okay?
Yeah, so watch what you say. They're going to think I'm this angry bitch. Okay,
so if you spilled tea on my lap, I'd just be like, oh, that sucks. I wouldn't be mad at you. I'd just be like, kind of, oh, that sucks. I have tea on me. But if I spilled tea on your lap, you'd be mad at me. That's kind of how your anger works. Like, you know what I mean? And it's not a bad thing. It's like that you go to the source. With me, I wish I could go to the source more, because I've, even in my life with people that have just not been good to me or whatever, I don't go right to them. So that's, you're not in the wrong and I'm not in the wrong.
Well, I guess it also quite, like, really to be open here, I think it depends on how you spill the tea in my lap. Now, if you take tea and you pick up your cup and you throw it on my lap, yeah, I am going to be very angry at you.
But see, that's where you sometimes are quick to jump, because even if it's an accident, I sometimes just like,
but if you were, you know, somebody called your name and you just casually turned, and meanwhile your hand is just pushing the tea onto my lap, that's a different thing. I mean, of course I'd be upset if I'm burnt.
Do you people see how complex anger is? Do you see it? Do you feel it?
But I'm offering myself, I won't say the word sacrifice, but I just did. I'm offering myself in terms of my own anger, because I really am very, very conscientious of my anger. And this is one thing I think you could say, for the most part, that I'm quite, you're funny, what are you doing? Don't drown in your tea. We're having tea now. We encourage all of you out there to just sit down, enjoy talking. Hopefully you'll call in if you feel like you want to share about your own anger.
We invite you, people, we invite you, all of you friends, dear friends. We're actually in the United States of America right now. We're not even in Canada.
We're in the woods of Washington with the fairies and Wi-Fi.
And thanks, Dawn, for that description. Mm-hmm. Very good one, actually. But we really want to invite you to call in, because we have a lot of exciting things happening recently, and we definitely have a lot of exciting things on the radio show and off the radio show that we're getting involved with. And we are quite excited to bring that to you, but we're not going to tell you everything right now.
Not yet.
And because it's just not time.
But things will unfold.
Things will unfold. And we really want to...
They don't make us angry.
Yeah, but basically, we're offering singles, MP3 singles of our latest singles.
Well, that's not new, though. I mean, we've been doing that.
No.
For anybody who calls in, we offer you a selection of our singles.
Yeah.
We have six, don't we?
Six singles.
On
actually
iTunes.
Seven, because we got I'm Back.
Oh, seven. Really?
So, yeah. So wow. I think we have seven, because and any single you want, just look on our iTunes, tell us, and you can have it for free. Just call in and, you know, let us know just what you're thinking, because a lot of times, you know, you're shy to call in, but it ends up being really, really, like, I don't know, cathartic.
It's cathartic, but we feel blessed, and we feel... you know, it's an exchange of information and ideas is a blessing to all. So you help us and you help others who are on who are listening. I just wanted to sort of talk a little bit about this righteous anger. I mean, we kind of went into my anger, and I don't want to kind of get sidetracked. What I'm basically trying to say is I am very conscious of my anger, and I am very conscious of how I express it. And I tend or try not to be reactive as opposed to responsive.
Yeah.
I think when people are feeling that my anger or what they would say is my anger is harsh or abrasive, I have to be open-minded to that because I have to think, well, that's how they perceive it. That's their perception. My head can say, I know that I wasn't abrasive or I wasn't harsh. I know that I was very much in control. It's just that I'm firm and maybe I'm so open, I get it. And so honest with it that it's a little bit uncomfortable. But I think that it's important and imperative for anger to happen. Mm-hmm. I think that it's important and imperative that each of us are conscious to allow ourselves to be angry. Mm-hmm. But we all are just finding our way as to the best way, like what Aristotle was saying. Mm-hmm. What is the best way? How should we? It is all about all of the elements of timing and the way it's presented, mm-hmm. and who it's presented to. And, you know, so these are all more than one factor when you're actually in a place of having to state something that you're extremely frustrated or angry about.
For sure. Because even you, not just because like, you know, I didn't mean to portray that you have like this anger and
I'm going around and I'm just I'm all over the place. No, but slashing people with my anger.
But I was too, I think I've been too, let's just say, hidden from my anger. I would really have liked to been able to stand up to people, and I was just too in my shell. And you've actually helped me overcome that, and I've been able to bitch some people out that I should have bitched out a long time ago. So,
well, we'll talk about that too. We'll talk about what is bitching people out.
What is standing up for yourself?
And exactly. And when is it, you know, beneficial to not only yourself for doing it, but also the other person to hear it?
Yeah, exactly.
And this is the thing that I really want to get to. I think it's imperative for each of us on this planet, if we truly do want peace and harmony for ourselves and for the world, that we have to find almost like a relationship to anger.
Yeah.
A very constructive one.
Agreed.
Hey, looks like it's time for what?
It's time for Ash's Mom.
It's Ash's Mom, it's Ash's Mom, it's Ash's Mom. It's Ash's Mom, it's Ash's Mom, it's Ash's Mom. It's Ash's Mom, it's Ash's Mom, it's Ash's Mom.
Ash's Mom on line one, and we're not lying. She really is on line one. Hey, Janice.
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
Good. You got a really good subject, and there's so many people that I wish that could be listening to this.
Isn't it interesting how...
This is just a primo subject, and I hope that someday you bring it back. I do.
Well, thanks.
Oh, but, you know, we'll have anger part two. We will.
Anger part two, yeah. What did you learn from anger part one? But what I was going to say about anger is it's all a part of, it, like, it's layered, right? Anger is layered. And it's layered to people because, I mean, you could instead of being angry, a lot of people, they're hurt. You know, they don't let the anger come through because they're afraid. Because if they see anger, if they see a lot of anger in their lives and they see anger at every step, and I mean, some people live that they become afraid of being angry themselves because they've been hurt by the anger so much that they take in hurt and they put out hurt instead of anger because you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. You're cutting out a little bit, like just your volume, but I we're hearing you.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
Not yet. It might be our connection, but we can still hear you. We just got to listen close.
Okay.
There you go. Now you're nice and loud.
Is that better?
Perfect.
Okay. What I said was that anger is in layers, like it comes in layers to different people. And sometimes if you see a lot of anger and you live in anger, then you get hurt from the anger. So you can't get angry back. So anytime you get that feeling of, I guess, the anger spewing at you, you turn into a different person.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
And maybe anger is good that way because you find out what it feels like, what being lashed out at feels like. So you become a different person. And one person that I can think of at that would be my dad. And he turned into a very quiet man. He was very quiet after, like, my mom and dad separated when I was just a newborn baby. But he had so much hurt in him it was anger. But the anger, because he was so hurt, he was repressing the anger. And then he learned from that just to go into this little shell. Like, anger is so damaging. Like, people say, oh, it's a relief and it feels good and just to get it out. But you have to realize the pain that you can cause somebody that can affect them for the rest of their lives, especially if that anger comes out for frivolous things, for, you know, I can't start the car, or, you know, or driving on the street and you're angry and, like, you just don't have any peace in your life. Like, you really have to be careful with anger. I mean, be angry at things that deserve your anger, not at things that are just there, because
that's
then
where
you really, what's that?
That's where it gets scary. That's where I have had that problem in my life from different people who have just been so angry at things that I didn't even understand, like trivial things. And then it makes me really timid when there's actual things to be angry about.
But that kind of anger, can we just say, like, I believe strongly that kind of anger has nothing to do with that particular person at that time. It's the anger that is within the person who is expelling it, mm-hmm. and it comes from their frustrated expectations, whether it's about what you're doing or not doing, or it's about something that happened even earlier in the day, and you just happen mm-hmm. to kind of be in the line of fire. So oftentimes anger is not even clear. It can be so emotional and it can be directed at a certain person, mm-hmm. but it's not in fact meant for that person.
You know what I learned, and this saying is just so somebody told me this once, and they said, you should look at that person that creates this to you, for you, this anger. You should look at them and say, please direct that anger to what it's supposed to be angered towards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, please direct it not to me, but to where it's supposed to be. Like, try to turn it around. You know what I mean? And just make people see that they're, you know, how it's affecting you. But I think it's an illness, and it's carried on from generation to generation to generation. It's like ignorance breeds ignorance, anger, you know, begats anger. Like, that's just the way it is. And you have to break the circle. You have to break the cycle, because anger is more damaging than physical violence, I think, for some people.
Well, for some people,
some people have such a tender heart.
But some people, Janice, I mean, anger, you're saying, basically you're expressing it as in words, but anger also is the reason why people abuse each other. The abusers are angry, right? So they justify lashing out, and they justify physical brutality and violence because they're saying they're angry.
Yes.
So then I think it's important to note that anger isn't only what we say, kind of like being a bully with our words, but it's also how we physically can explode and cause a lot of harm physically, as well as mentally, emotionally, and spiritually.
Yes, yes. And sometimes the words work like fists on people, you know?
It's true, and you're saying this about being generational, and I think that it's not only in families where you have anger management issues, but it's also it's in societies, it's in, yes, you know, world cultures, it's in, you know, culturally, you see in certain cultures how, you know, anger is actually almost seen as a sign of manhood or whatnot, like, yes, like display your power, display your anger. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, again, we ultimately all have to take personal responsibility, but it's also a global thing. It's also something, mm-hmm, that we're suffering from because of the anger of our societies and our cultures, as well as us as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Albert Einstein said that anger dwells in the bosom of fools. Do you agree?
Yep. It's so true. It's so true, because anger can damage. Like, I mean, you take a look at a kid on a playground and that's a bully, and, you know, the kid gets in trouble. The parents phone home and say, your kid's, you know, bullying on these children and stuff. And or they'll go to the door of the family and say, you know, this is what your child did in school. And the father turns around and says, yeah, and what's your problem? You know what I mean? Like, you know where they get it from. And that's why I'm saying it has to be broken. It, you know, like, it's okay to get angry with certain things in life or at people. But when you, like, anger is one thing. An anger issue is another.
So there's another, you know? What you're saying is something that when I was getting together information for the show, I read this quote by William Arthur Ward, W-A-R-D. He says, it is wise to direct your anger towards problems and not people, to focus your, yes, energy on answer, not excuses. And that, to me, is what you just said, is, you know, yes, it's the problem that we're dealing with. And it's a personal thing when we direct it at people. I kind of feel, just from my own experience, my own life experience, that there are times when you actually have to direct it at the person, because it's about, mm-hmm, a person's behavior. For example, Ash and I had something happen today. We went, mm-hmm, shopping. We went to Maple Falls here in Washington, and we did some shopping, and we're sitting in the parking lot about ready to go and watching this man with his wife and his two children in a truck. Get out, and he had two dogs in the back, and this one dog had somehow, I guess, escaped the back of the truck bed, and so he's yelling at the dog, and then he's picking the dog up by the scruff of the neck and forcing her back into the back of the truck, and then he goes to do his grocery shopping with his wife, and his kids are left in the cab of the truck opening up the window in the back, and they're yelling at the dogs because they learned from their father. He proceeded to come back after shopping. The dog again just jumped out. I think it's because she's quite frightened of this man. She cowered. He's probably extremely abusive. And he's following her, and he starts hitting her. And, you know, again, so we're kind of looking at, isn't that interesting that tonight we're having a show on anger? One thing, yeah, we did do is we took the name or the license plate down, and we also got a description. We took down all the particulars, and we're going to be calling the Humane Society and reporting this man, because this is an instance where it's
wonderful.
And well,
do you remember another episode of anger when you were down there?
Yeah, there's something about whenever we're in Washington, we seem to kind of have incidents where we're witnesses to abuse. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the last one was the abuse of a child, and this time it was the abuse of an animal. And this is what, yeah, I'm saying is, I am angry at that man, and I'm angry at that man, mm-hmm, because he is being abusive, not only to the animals, but he's also teaching his children by example to be abusive to the animals. So when the father was in earshot, these kids were yelling at the dogs like their father was yelling at the dogs. As soon as the father was in the store and obviously not in range of these children, then we saw the children suddenly loving the animals. They were petting the animals, and one boy was trying to kiss the animal. And so it was almost like, when dad's out of sight, we can be kind. But when dad is in sight or in hearing distance, we have to be like dad. It was
there
really
you
bad.
Go. Ignorance breeds ignorance. Children look at their parents and they treat the way they're treated. And it's a circle that has to stop.
So this is what you're talking
somewhere.
About, the cycle. And this is where we have to take personal responsibility, how we treat our children, how we treat our friends,
yes.
how we treat our coworkers,
yes.
right?
Exactly. Because
and,
some people just have so low self-worth that they have to bully people. They have to show their dominance, you know what I mean?
Yes, but it's very difficult when you're a grown person. I understand this just from working with a lot of people who have been, a lot of women especially, not men, but battered women and whatnot. And I understand that a lot of times people use ego as a defense.
Yes.
And it's and
mm-hmm.
underneath all that bravado and that attitude and the ego is a lot of pain. But I'll tell you this, it's really, really difficult when you're a grown person and you're seeing someone who's lashing out and being reactive because of their past trauma. It's difficult mm-hmm. to remember the pain that is underneath the layers and layers and layers of basically protection that this person has through their lives amassed so that they
yeah.
can just survive. And
yes.
And it's difficult when that person is perhaps even letting you have it, and you're trying to remind yourself, well, this person is coming from a place of abuse. This person is coming from a place of great pain. But when someone is lashing at you and lacerating you, not only with their tongue, but with their psyche,
mm-hmm.
it's very challenging mm-hmm. to get past the point and say, okay, I'll let this happen because you've been hurt. When you're being hurt, it's just, for all of us, it's a natural thing to not hurt back, but to defend ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes people defend with anger. So this is the thing, is that you have a situation where a person's in great pain, they're lashing out because they don't know how else, they need a lot of healing, they need a lot of help. And I just think that in that instance, because they're grown-ups, they need to be told that this isn't working anymore. This is not a healthy way to deal with life. You need to get some assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not
yes,
going to be your punching bag,
usually,
right? Sometimes quite literally,
yeah.
you
and
can
usually,
be a punching bag for somebody.
And
that's
usually
true.
What has to happen.
I know that for sure, that I've seen even different friends in my life and things like that. And it's hard when you're in the situation because you're thinking, well, you know, I maybe it's not exactly like that. You know, I see them as being, you know, quite angry or quite, abusive sometimes. But then, you know, the other times they're quite good. And then your friend's telling you, you know, you really got to kind of get out of the situation of this intense anger. And then you look at it from another perspective where you're the one being angry. And I mean, that's been me sometimes. And it doesn't always have to be anger that's damaging to somebody. It can just be anger that's uncomfortable for people to be around. And you know
what? Isn't it sad that usually the aggressor has to be caught and shamed before they do something? That's all it is. They have to be caught and they have to be called on it.
Yeah.
But you
because
know what?
You need help. You need help.
But Janice, what's even...
I can't bully anymore.
But Janice, what's even sadder in my mind is that oftentimes these types of people cannot be shamed. Even when they're caught,
yeah.
they are
yeah.
so immersed and enmeshed in their own ego that there's
mm-hmm.
no way they're going to be defiant to the end because
yes, that's
they
true.
Don't want to take a look at themselves. They don't feel that they need to change.
That's
and this
true.
Is
yeah.
where the this is where any I would call it the disease of anger resides.
Mm-hmm.
Is
mm-hmm.
when we're basically saying it's okay for me to be angry. It's basically taking ourselves away from the connectedness of all things, from the we back to the me. It's very egocentric.
Yeah.
And I mean, I still feel very strongly that anger has to be expressed. I just think that we all need to start looking at healthy ways to allow it to be. And,
yeah.
you know,
I agree.
Maya Angelou that, you know, it does burn off. And the thing
mm-hmm.
about, again, getting into resentment. Okay, so if I'm angry and I've decided that I'm angry at something, I'm justifying my anger, I don't like the way you did something, and I'm not letting it go. I'm not letting
I
it go.
I have the cure.
Pardon?
I have the cure for anger.
What is it?
Tetherball. Everybody should have a tetherball in their yard. And the angrier you are, take it out on that tether ball to go around the pole and around, hit it harder and harder and harder, and then hit it the other way.
And then what? Then that's a way of burning it off so that it doesn't become the actual, I mean, resentment is like a pus. It festers. It's destructive. And it's what destroys relationships. When you build resentment, and resentment comes from anger. And you're right, Janice, you said at the beginning, anger comes from hurt. Mm-hmm. Most often, when we're hurt, instead of saying, you hurt me, we get mad.
Mm-hmm.
And
or they built up resentment, like you said.
Well, resentment, I think, comes after. Yeah. I really do. You know, kind of like guilt and shame. You know, you start with guilt and you end up with shame. It's kind of like a progression. But anger in and of itself is an emotion that I think, first of all, as women, I believe wholeheartedly we need to give ourselves permission to be angry. Because I think as women, and I'd love to have some male callers call in and talk to us about their way of dealing with anger. But I'm going to talk from a woman's perspective because that's what I am. And I know just from being raised a woman and just even my society and what I was told by my teachers and kind of the expectations around being a lady. And, you know, I feel very strongly that I was never, ever given permission to be angry. In fact, I feel that I was shamed when I would become angry. I was told that I should not be angry or why are you, you know, stop that. You know, so how do we allow ourselves as women to be angry, to, you know, and to say it's okay to be angry and not to be construed as a bitch once you become
a spoiled child. You're acting like a spoiled child.
That's right. So this is the issue. This is kind of what I'd like to see. A lot of women just give themselves permission to be angry, but then once we gave ourselves that permission, then it's about finding constructive ways of expressing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true too.
So a constructive way, Janice, you say, is get a tetherball.
Everybody should have one.
You know what worked for me? Even though right now I wish I had this because I think I'm getting a cold and I feel it. So I'm angry.
So who are you angry at?
I'm angry at the weather because I'm getting a cold and I feel it. My face is so hot. I feel like I'm getting a cold, but here it is. I wish I could bowl right now.
Would that get rid of your anger towards the weather?
I think every single frickin' person in the world should bowl. Join a bowling league. Support your local lanes. What? I'm serious, though.
Go to the bowl-a-thons for food famine and stuff, right?
But you know what? Remember that girl in my old bowling league, Brienne? And she was telling people she hopes they have heart attacks. And she was making these fake... She was making these fake chickens out of these washcloths. And maybe bowling isn't
she was so clever.
But it works for me.
Yep.
We just had actually a comment from one of our friends
on Twitter,
and he said, Cheryl gets angry when I beat her at hanging with friends. She says bad words.
Well, I've been outed.
And our dear friend from Pennsylvania named
Bob
has... Yes, that's what I'm saying. That goes out to Bob.
No, I know. I was just reading it. And I didn't know what you're doing. You just read it, so I was wondering. You're just confusing me.
I'm on the verge of being
angry right now.
But you know what? She is. I remember, you know, it's... I think back to fond times when I was in Seattle using a GPS with Cheryl, and she's cursing. It was the first time I ever really hung out with Cheryl, one of them, and... We were in Seattle, and I'm like, yeah, I know Seattle like the back of my hand.
I do, the back of her hand.
But there are areas that are different sometimes.
So I was relying on Ash because I was the driver and she was the navigator, and she said she knew Seattle like the back of her hand.
She brought her trusty.
You should have had Angela with you.
We did. That's the problem. Angela is our GPS.
Yeah, Angela is the Garmin GPS that, you know, she would be saying, turn right. As I was passing my street that I was supposed to turn right on. And Ash going, I don't know where I am.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, not for me.
I thought it was all right.
I love it when someone says, yeah, you know, you can, don't worry, I got it covered. And then they don't.
I wonder if I caught Travis's cold.
I don't think you can catch
a
dog's cold.
But I kiss his nose a lot.
But you can't catch a dog's.
You know what it is?
What?
You know what it is? It's the fog, the weather. It's just,
it's getting in my chest.
I don't know.
It's, but anyway,
it's just all the impurities in the air. Anyway, I'm going to let you guys go. I just wanted to give you my perspective on anger. I don't get mad or angry too often. Maybe that's my problem.
Neither do I.
What's that?
Me and you both don't
get
angry.
Well, that's probably because you're mother-daughter and you're very similar, so.
I've never really been mad at either of you that, like to be really super, like, yelling angry. Have I ever done that to either of you? Not many times.
Not many times.
No, once or twice.
But seriously, everybody just kind of thinks,
no.
Oh, absolutely.
No, you don't. You hardly ever get angry.
And you know what? Sometimes I wish I could.
You get hurt, and then you just don't speak, and then it comes out in little spurts, and then you talk about it.
That's a good analysis. Blah, blah, blah.
Anyway, I'll let you guys go, and I'm going to continue listening to the show.
Thank you for your inspiration.
Can we hear our Ash's mom again, just because we love it so much? And we're going to just say it's Ash's mom on line one, and we're going to say goodbye, Janice.
Everyone sing it.
Okay. I love you guys.
It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom, it's Ash's mom. It's Ash's mom.
Thanks, Dawn. Thanks, Janice, for sharing your wisdom again.
She is one of our special new segments, and that is Ash's mom.
That's right. And we want to thank our Twitter friend for tweeting our question. We've put it out there. I'll say it again. We didn't do it this show, that if you are too shy to talk on the radio with us, we welcome your tweets.
Or
and text. You can tweet us at Hologram Music. That's at HOLLOWGRAM Music. And that's what we are on Twitter. So,
but we should also actually tell everybody, anyone who actually has our phone numbers, that if they're texting in questions, our phones don't work right now. They're off because we're in another country. So we only can use our airplane mode Wi-Fi. So
that is correct.
You better call in if you got a question, peeps.
Or they can get through on Twitter if they're super shy.
Exactly. So, yeah. So,
I want to talk about resentment some
me
more.
Me too.
Though.
I want you to talk about it.
And I want to say this. I found this really cool thing, and I wish I knew who said it, but it was just not even labeled with anybody, their name. And I'm a big one for giving credit where credit's due. So if you're out there and you're listening and this was your statement, let me know, and I will make it known that it was your statement. But this is something that someone named Anonymous, there's a lot of Anonymouses out there, said about anger. They said, anger is only a natural reaction, one of the mind's ways of reacting to things that it perceives to be wrong. While anger can sometimes lead people to do shocking things, and we've seen that, haven't we? It can also be an instinct to show people that something is not right. And this is where I want to stay steadfast in stating that this is why I believe anger is healthy and anger is necessary. I think anger, like anything, if you don't have control over it, if it has control over you, then you got to work on controlling it. But I do feel very strongly that anger is the thing that is the catalyst to so many things that are, so many wrongs that are actually righted. When you have people that are angry about, let's talk about being angry at that Westboro Baptist Church. Is that who they are?
Oh, I can't stand those.
Okay, I'm angry at that whole thing. The fact that they are so hateful and so enmeshed in their distorted ways of thinking and basically saying it has to do with religion. I just feel, how dare you? How dare you be so hateful? It's like they're like justifying their hate crimes. So they make me angry. And so now I've publicly stated it. I've said it before. I don't know. Now you've heard it. I do not like that organization, the man who leads it, woman who is his daughter, who is, they're both lawyers. Apparently the man himself has been disbarred. The woman, she's 55 years old. Her name is what, Shirley?
Their actual website, I was looking it up when you were telling me.
Okay.
It's their actual website, because I was trying to look it up. It's not Westboro Baptist Church or anything.com. It's just www.godhatesfags.com.
Oh, so
that's their actual website name.
So there you go. I'm angry at that. And the reason why I'm angry at them, and I'm going to say the people, is because I perceive that what they're doing is wrong. It's wrong to society. It's wrong to their fellow human beings.
They're an actual terrorist group.
I would say they are a terrorist group. So why should I say that, you know, why should I just sort of sit idly by while people justify hate crime and justify just horrendous and shocking things doing to another a human being? I mean, even this guy today beating his dog, that's not okay with me. I just feel that it's imperative for each of us. Oh, so many of us turn our faces or turn our heads. We see something before us that is causing harm, whether it's abuse or something towards another human being, an injustice. Mm-hmm. And most of us want to just say, I will not get involved. I that's not my family. That's not my neighbor. That's not my insert whatever here. But I think it's imperative that we all recognize that we are involved already, because we are part of the same society.
Agreed.
We are part of the same neighborhood. We're part of the same community. And I don't think that we should allow shocking things of harm to be done to others. I think that we need to be
step
more
up.
Connected and step up and say, this isn't okay. And that's where I feel very strongly that our anger is, in fact, an instinct. That this is not right. So if some anger gets sparked, it's because our soul, if you want to call it, or that deeper level, that highest part of ourselves that knows where love is and where hatred is, it's saying, no, this isn't cool. This isn't loving. This is not kind. And so I feel very strongly that it's quite fine to be angry. But I also have been around people who are rageaholics, I'll call them. I've had relationship with people who have problems with managing their anger, and that is a whole other thing. That is where I had somebody send me a friend of mine. She sent me this little, it was a long, kind of like a paragraph of a story, and I'm going to relay the story before we end this program, because I think it's very pertinent and it has meaning. And I've shared this with you before, Ash. There's this little girl who was having a problem with anger. So her mother said to her, every time you're angry, instead of yelling or shouting or getting out of control, you take yourself a nail and you take yourself a hammer and you go to the fence and you just pound that nail in, instead of just acting out. So every time you feel angry, instead of acting out on it, go and pound a nail into the fence. So this little girl did this for a while. She got angry a lot, so she went to the fence a lot, and she's pounding this nail in the fence. And, you know, after a while, her mother goes out, and she sees that there's a hell of a lot of nails in the fence. And she says to her little girl, she says, okay, so you see all those nails? And she says, yes, I do. And she says, that's all the times you've been angry and you've wanted to lash out or, you know, let somebody have it. And she goes, yes. And she says, okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to take out every one of those nails. I want you to take that hammer and use the claw end of it and grab those nail heads and grab them and take them out. So the little girl proceeds to take every single one of those nails out. And then her mother says, okay, now look at the fence. She goes, what do you see? And the little girl goes, I see a lot of holes. I see a holy fence. The mother says, that's right. You can't, the fence is not the same. The fence is not what it was before. It's now a otherwise damaged fence. And she said, that's exactly what your anger does when you do it and you inflict it on others, because you can't change it. And that's what I think your mom was touching on too, is when we allow our anger to control us and we become hurtful towards each other, that is us taking that nail and pounding it in their fence. Because the thing is that you can take out that nail with an, I'm sorry, but you can never take back what you said in anger. You can never take that away. That is irreversible. Mm-hmm. The pain, the damage that our anger in those instances have caused can never be fixed.
That's true.
I mean, we can ask the person who's on the other end of it to forgive us. And they can forgive because that allows them to move forward, but it doesn't mean they forget, and it permanently alters the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I both know that from personal experience.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Of having that in our lives, mm-hmm. and it does. You can't change that.
No, you definitely can't. I mean, too many holes can wreck relationships. It can wreck even, I mean, passions, different passions that you have in your life. It can affect anything. It can really do a lot of damage.
And this is where you want to be careful. You want to watch out. And there's a Scottish writer from the 1700s. His name is William Shenstone. And he said something that's really cool about anger. He said, "Anger is a great force. If you control it, it can be transmuted into a power which can move the whole world."
Wow.
And this is where I feel that our anger, we talk about righteous anger. If we're coming from a place of love, not a place of judgment, so not saying belong to my club,
mm-hmm.
or else you're not going to go wherever, you're not going to be somebody, you're not going to, as long as we let go of all that pretense and we recognize the basic truths,
mm-hmm.
that we're all from the same place, we're all the same, we're not different, and we just focus on the love that joins us all together, then I think that the anger can be healthy in getting us back to seeing what is.
Exactly, because all anger really is control. And
it's expression, though, too.
Well, it is, but it's also, like, say if I was writing a song and I felt really angry, it's like I use that anger, in a sense, to control the words that I'm going to say. Whatever, all emotion really is about, really is, does have an element of control. And sometimes it can, even if you're going crazy and hitting walls or splashing paint all over a wall, it is important to harness a certain level of control in anger, I think. I really believe that.
I want you to share, before we've got a few more minutes, just a couple of minutes, but I'll just take us out. You're part of the Riot Girl movement.
Oh, yeah.
So talk a little bit about the anger that you were speaking about in the middle of the beginning of the program about the Riot Girls.
Well, it definitely is a movement that happened in the, oh, let's say, I guess it was coined in the early 90s, but I mean, let's say even late 80s. Just with a sense of women, I think there's a lot of things that actually my peers have done that I don't agree with. But in the same light, I just believe that there's a lot of a lot of room for women to really take back a lot of power. And bands like Bikini Kill and Bratmobile and different bands that really were into starting different zines like Girl Germs and just, you know, writing songs like Double Daria and things like that. Check into those. It's just basically like there's even a Riot Girl manifesto online. And you can see that was one of the more official documents that I guess kind of jump-started the whole movement, but it's just basically a punk rock movement of women that, with force, I think, and being quite blatant, they, you know, I think they were a little bit too male-opposing in certain ways. You know, they're kind of, you know, a lot of them had said, you know, men suck except my boyfriend kind of thing, but I mean, what's that really doing? That's just you know, making
it's
us all look
bashing.
Like,
yeah, it's not cool.
And it's very hypocritical, and
yeah.
I just don't really like that. But, you know, more so than anything, I definitely stand up for that because I just celebrate women taking back their power in any way. So, I mean, if they, especially all the causes, I mean, the causes for even like women who were raped or women who were living in poverty and, you know, very, you know, very horrible power struggles with man and wife or women, you know, any woman and her boyfriend or something. And, you know, the power struggles of with money and different things like that. There's a song for basically any issue that a woman has had. And I think that if you can get lost in that and get empowered in that, it's really great. So I urge you all to I don't know, just search Riot Girl online. And the reason why I'm even talking about it is because there's definitely a resurgence.
There
like
is.
It's not just in the past anymore. And there's a lot more bands even in Vancouver coming around and that definitely have it. And even my friend / student and I, Aliza, she goes to a lot of shows that are now coming on. And you know, it's
focusing on Riot Girl.
Yeah, like a reemergence. And I'm still waiting for the grunge reemergence, but I don't think that'll ever happen. I mean, bands are coming back like Scratch Acid and Green River, but I mean, come on, we need some good music again. That's what makes me angry. I can't stand radio crap anymore. I can't stand what we have to play for a lot of the things, but you know.
So I think that this is the reason why I brought it up is your mom were saying, what can we do to help channel our anger? I mean, I think it's very important that we express it.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to get rid of the damaging effects of our anger, your mom says, punch a tetherball. I say, get it out in music. You've got the Riot Girl movement. Say, you've got all sorts of...
You've got metal, like Suicide Silence, Mitch Lucker, Happy Birthday.
That's right, Happy Birthday.
And, you know, all that stuff. I mean, there's a lot of music. Like, even your friend was saying that he just loves metal. And you never thought that he would love metal.
No, I would. I know he's the last guy I would have thought that would be a metal lover, but he is. He appreciates it. I mean, he's extremely
the power of it.
Extremely gifted musician, and yeah, and he's saying he's not a metal. He doesn't play metal. He's a rock guy, but yeah, it's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can channel
when you open your mind up, and that's just about opening your mind. So. We thank you all for listening. We welcome our new listeners. And we know that you wanted to call in. And we know you're out there because we can tell by the numbers. And we appreciate all of you. So thank you for listening. If this is for your first time, we have our archives page. You can listen to more of our shows on our archives page here on BBS Radio. And you can also listen to our band stuff. Find out what we are as a band. Listen to our music. We're on iTunes. And we also have our website, hollow-gram.com.
Kiss a tree.
Kiss a tree. We love you.